Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Welcome to Season 3 of Comic Book Nation, the official podcast of comicbook.com. I am your host, Kofi Outlaw, and with me today I have my co-host, Matthew Aguilar.
What up?
And Janelle Wheeler.
Hey, hey!
What's up, guys? We're getting back into some movie stuff today. We were hoping to have some of our other official people with us to join us, two of our fan-favorite guests, Mr. Brandon Davis or Mr. Charlie Ridgely. Both of them have big, important things to do, so they're not here today. But we are going to hold down their kind of review of Jungle Cruise, the new Disney movie coming to Disney Plus premiere access in theaters today, starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Emily Blunt. They had some thoughts to share because both BD and Charlie got to see Jungle Cruise and had thoughts, so we're going to share those with you in a minute. We're also going to talk about the new movie Free Guy, Ryan Reynolds' new kind of video game-inspired movie, Me. If you've been watching Comic Book Nation social media, which you should, follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Nation if you're not already. Me, Janelle, and Matt went, and Charlie and BD and some other comicbook.com people got to see Free Guy last night at a special screening, and we got reactions to share. So we're going to give you guys spoiler-free reactions to Free Guy. We'll have a full kind of review spoiler discussion on that next week because that comes out next week. We're also going to talk about the new Predator movie, Scarlett Johansson in the whole Black Widow lawsuit fiasco. I know Janelle has feelings about this. And we're going to get into the Suicide Squad. There's a lot of drama going on with the Suicide Squad franchise that we got to talk about, plus comics. A lot of stuff to get to today. So let's jump right in. All right, right at the top, let's talk about Jungle Cruise. So today, Jungle Cruise is out, starring, as I said, Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Emily Blunt. It's based on a Disney theme park ride. And Mr. Charlie Ridgely reviewed this for comicbook.com, and he gave it 4 out of 5 stars, which...
Whoa!
Wow, that's
generous!
Well, I mean, if you know anything about Charlie and if BD, I really wanted to have both BD and Charlie on here because
they're
great. They both have very insightful reviews, but they have come from like the Siskel and Ebert of it all, like from two very different poles of opinion.
Charlie's very passionate, too.
Yes,
he likes
yes.
something.
Oh, yes. Charlie, that
or
is,
hate something.
I love how diplomatic Janelle Wheeler is. That is a great diplomatic way of putting it. Charlie Ridgely is very passionate when he really enjoys something and he really stands
or
tall.
Or when he really hates something.
Yes. And he stands tall on both sides. So here's what Charlie said. I'll just give you the kind of Rotten Tomatoes snippet of it all. He says that Jungle Cruise is the adventure we've been waiting for, the kind of grand tale that reminds us of the movies that many of us love, movies that made us love movies in the first place. Hopefully it's the start of a new trend, bringing the long lost art of swashbuckling tent poles back to prominence once again. So basically, Charlie really enjoyed the kind of throwback, the swashbuckling adventure movies of the past, everything from, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean to Romancing the Stone and things like that. You know, things set in the jungle with the exotic adventures and all that.
Yeah.
And he really went for it and really kind of enjoyed it. He really liked The Rock, even though, you know, he acknowledges The Rock might just be playing The Rock. It's still fun. I mean, there's a reason why he's like the biggest movie star in the world. So it's enjoyable for it to see him. And him and Emily Blunt apparently have good bants. And so that's, you know, that's everything you want. So it's a big kind of adventure, Disney adventure movie. I think it's going to be good for the whole family. Brandon is like, you know, personal friends with The Rock, and he also very much enjoyed it. I think he had the more measured take that if you kind of, this is the kind of movie you want, like a fun family adventure movie, then this is going to deliver and kind of deliver on that front. And that's just generally what we're hearing. So
I'm guessing, so they would say it's probably worth the trip to the theater or the high dollar premium. It's coming out. It's on Disney Plus, correct?
Yes, yeah, on Disney Plus Premier Access, which infamous. Ooh, we got to get into that. But yes, it is on Disney Plus Premier Access. And again, if you're, I think this is one of those movies where that's kind of perfectly suited to the Premier Access option. Because anybody like me or Matt, and especially me, I have two kids and other people on staff have kids. If you're going to the movies and trying to cart two kids to the movies, pay for tickets for you, one other parent, two kids or more, plus concessions, then yeah, that Disney Plus Premier Access $30 doesn't sound so bad.
Right.
Ah, Chris Killian's here. What's up, Chris Killian's in the comments? Yes, Chris Killian. I wish you had seen Jungle Cruise, could share your thoughts with us here, Chris Killian. We like you. We're not gonna rank people we like. Chris Killian BD feud. We're not taking any sides in that. But what's up, Chris Killian? So if you're a parent and you're thinking about a movie experience or something to do with your kids, like that $30 Disney Plus Premier Access to see The Rock and Emily Blunt take you on an adventure doesn't seem like a bad option at all. So
I guess bottom line is, who in the chat is actually gonna go to the theater or get this on Disney Plus, and then will you guys be doing this, or are you going to wait for it to go free streaming?
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting question. I mean, will this be another Black Widow, or will this be just like another Mulan? We'll see.
So Brightwood says no.
Yeah, that was a quick, concise answer. Nope.
I think that I will probably, I might rent this. Like if it's this hot outside and I can't like do a lot right now, I might watch it on Disney and just bite the bullet, order some takeout, make a night, like a date night out of it.
Yeah. I mean, I've been circling it. My hand's been circling it. I did Black Widow on Premier Access despite, you know, and I'm not regretting that at all.
Like, yeah. Well, that's the thing. I did the same thing for like, I paid the $30 and, you know, I didn't regret my decision after that. So, I mean, like Jungle Cruise is not a movie more for the reasons that like Kofi said, like it's about getting schedules figured out and making sure that like someone's home to look after the kiddo or we're going to take her, like, we're not going to take her out there. Right. So like that's $30 peace of mind and convenience. I'm okay with that. Jungle Cruise isn't like the movie that's like, I have to see on the big screen. So like, I'm cool with that, but I'm glad people are digging it. I honestly thought when this movie was nearing its like review embargo and stuff like that, that it would be one of those where it was critically punched a lot, but it would be an audience favorite. Like if we're using the Rotten Tomatoes type scale, I expected that. So the fact that it's getting so many positive reviews,
yeah,
I believe so anyway, is good. I feel like that's good for them.
Yeah, yeah. I'm really excited about it because I grew up going on that ride. Obviously,
Jungle
I'm
Cruise.
From Orlando. So yeah, it was a fun ride.
I mean, obviously you are from Orlando. Yes.
Obviously.
Yeah. All right. So that's it for Jungle Cruise. That's on Disney Plus Premier Access and out in theaters now. You guys can check out Charlie Ridgely's full review on comicbook.com movies. He really goes in and breaks down a lot of the finer points about this. So you can see if it's for you or not. Check that out. All right. Moving right along. Like I said, Comic Book Nation, we got a rare date night out at the movies last night. So me, Janelle, and Matt all ended up not only going to the movies together, but somehow parked next to each other.
In a line
in the parking lot. But we got to go out and see Free Guy, the new Ryan Reynolds movie. That's basically like one of those last holdovers from Fox before they got acquired by Disney. And it's about Reynolds playing an NPC, non-playable character in a game, who kind of comes to life in this kind of sim city video, you know, Grand Theft Auto style video game, and changes, you know, everything, you know, going on with that. And so we got to see that. And like I said, it's coming out next week in theater. So we're just here to give you some spoiler free reactions. No worries. We're not going to spoil anything for Free Guy. But I think I told Matt after the movie, like, wow, this is like the Batman Fortnite of movies, like in that.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
I was literally thinking that the whole time. I love that you say that, Kofi. We didn't chat about that.
Well, that's why we're a squad now. We, you know,
yes.
We all think alike. We all think alike. You know how it goes. In that it was way more enjoyable than I thought it had any right to be at any given time. And I was just pleasantly surprised by that. I was like, really? Like, Free Guy is like, but Free Guy is like just a classic, like, movie adventure experience that is really kind of charming and fun and unexpectedly more funny than I thought it would be. Ryan Reynolds, it's probably Ryan Reynolds, like, for me, best performance since like the early kind of Van Wilder days where he kind of really cut that his shtick together and got that Ryan Reynolds of it all together. But it's really good. And if you're a gamer, like a hardcore gamer, there's a lot of like fun Easter eggs and depths, or a streamer.
If you're like really involved on Twitch or like YouTube gaming, you're going to be like, what? Like, cause I did that several times. Like, oh my God. Like, and I don't want to say what they were, but there are certain cameos and things that are just like, oh my gosh.
The movie has fun cameos, both obvious and hidden, and a lot of Easter eggs. And like Janelle said, like, if you're a streamer or you're a gamer, like, there's a lot. You're going to enjoy it on a lot more level. But just as a blockbuster movie experience, this is just a really good, fun, kind of feel-good movie. And it's like, in some ways, it's like what Ready Player One wanted to be, but like,
right. I was going to bring that up of like, I think that, well, okay. Well, two things. One, and you mentioned it, the action in this, I was surprised. I wasn't expecting that much, but like, there's several sequences in here, just like action sequences that are really fun and impressive. Like, they're actually really well done. They keep the energy up. You're invested. And I did not expect that. And two, I will piggyback on your Ryan Reynolds point, because this is one of his best comedic recent performances, but I also really think this is one of his best. I don't even know how to really characterize it. I mean, I will say this is probably one of his best emotional performances as well. There's some stuff
I got emotional.
The end,
yeah,
that he goes beyond the kind of surface of what you could probably get away with in a movie like this, and makes you feel. Like, it makes it like he got that from me. And I was like, I did not expect that coming in the Free Guy and seeing someone in the trailer like miss a giant wrecking ball. Like, I wasn't expecting that kind of character work in this. And I thought the cast was really was great overall. You know, I have a couple nitpicks here and there, but like I came out just like with a smile on my face. I thought it was fun.
To add to it, like the Ready Player One thing, like, can't even hold a candle to this movie, in my opinion. I was really excited about Ready Player One. I read the books and I was so like not moved by that film. And I don't feel like there was any humor or anything really creative or any references to like real, like in our IRL world right now, existing content creators and games and things that like you can really relate to. So it felt just too far off, like too away from like the reality that we are in with the gaming and stuff like that. So this just felt so relatable and exciting. I loved it.
And by the way, Ian, yes, Jody is awesome.
Yeah, the cast in this, I mean, Steve Harrington from Stranger Things, Jodie Comer from Killing Eve, who I didn't recognize because she looks so much like younger in this.
Yeah.
And just like completely nails that kind of geek girl gamer look type deal. And I was just like, wait, it was like blowing my mind. I was like, this is Jodie Comer. Like,
and then she gets in the game and like the amazing sequence you've seen in the trailer. And it's just like this complete badass. And you're just like, oh my God, like it works on every.
Yeah. She level. Like her and like Ryan Reynolds are really good. And Steve Harrington really carries like a major part of this movie too. So
very good too.
Yes. Yeah. And not just his hair. Like he does great work. Yeah, there's unexpected levels of character work in this that you like. This movie seems like it'd be just like a dumb, fun movie, but people really put some real acting into
Lil Rel, man.
Lil Rel, yeah. And what's his name? The guy who plays the other programmer. I always forget his name. But
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, he's really funny in this and really good too. And everybody has depth. Like all the characters have depth. They're not like one note or anything. Even Taika Waititi is like the kind of villain of this is really good. So Free Guy is like the Batman Fortnite of movies. Really unexpectedly, pleasantly surprising. I would actually recommend people go out to theaters and really see this.
Same time.
This is like what you want in summer movies, man. Like, and you know, outside of a franchise, like just a new novel kind of movie experience. And Ryan Reynolds really, and everybody else carries this. So good job. All right. That's Free Guy. Let's talk about some Predator movie details real quick. So on the low, there's been this new Predator movie that's actually like an old Predator movie that's been kind of creeping up.
Dan Trachtenberg, baby.
Yeah, Dan Trachtenberg's been working on this for a while. And he's the guy who did 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And was supposed to do that Uncharted movie, dang it.
That would have been awesome. And so Trachtenberg's like, yeah, he makes these really good kind of, I mean, just in the same way as Free Guy, like really kind of fulfilling and rich kind of genre movie experiences, like 10 Cloverfield Lane, another one, just out of nowhere, unexpectedly good movie. And he came up with this concept of a new Predator movie that we've been kind of hearing rumors about, but now we got kind of more details from it. And we're hearing that the movie is going to be called Skull, and it will be kind of this concept of like a Predator origin story, in the sense that it's a Predator origin story for how the Predators came to Earth first.
Love that.
Yeah, back in this time. And we've heard that it was going to be kind of in you know, ancient American times, Native American kind of focused. They got my girl from, I forget her name right now, from Legion, was rumored to be tapped for it, who played that badass kind of mutant who shared a body with a dude. You know, I forget her name. Oh, man, I'm just I'm choking up here. I can't remember her name. Anybody? Anybody in the comments?
No.
Yeah, Amber Mid-Thunder. Thank you. I got it. Thanks, Chris Chipperson. Maybe I should hire you as a co-host.
You didn't know it either.
I know.
Add another. We can have a fourth in here. Come on in.
That sounds really worse than it meant. But anyway, Amber Mid-Thunder is, you know, reportedly being tapped because she is, you know, Native American heritage. And it was going to be female focus since the first time since Sanaa Lathan did AVP, but they kind of confirm that, you know, it's going to be called Skull, that it will be kind of female focused. And so it basically is confirmation that what we've heard is true, which is that it will be about, you know, ancient Native American tribe and this unique kind of female warrior among the tribe who gets targeted by, you know, a predator. And it will be kind of a more old world predator story, you know, bows, arrows, horses, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Well, that's the thing that appealed to me most about their description, was that it's really, I mean, when he went, the producer went on to talk about like comparisons and saying like, this would be like ranking them all. He feels like we're at the second best, like outside of like the original film, feels like they finally found the formula, which is just like somebody, in this case a woman, leading the movie, which are also excited about, but like seeing someone just like trying to MacGyver stuff and go up against this very superior being, like down to its essence, that's what they want to do with this. And like, if they can capture that, you know, how many Predator movies have we had now?
So
we've had Predator 1, 2, AVP, AVPR, Predators, The Predator. I think altogether we're up to 6. I think this is like 7.
Good Lord. But so if they can get it right this time, we'll be on a good path, right? And we can just pick up from here. And I'm just excited that, you know, I feel like Trachtenberg is a good choice to tell.
Yeah,
that
I feel like, I don't remember if I made this up or I heard this as a concept, is like somebody going back to just like the end of Predator with Arnold in the mud, covered in the mud, you know, having to use nature and all that, and that kind of being the springboard for this kind of idea. But everybody does dig that Predator, original Predator finale. So seeing that as an entire movie concept, I would like to see, like, you know, what was that really? Oh my God, I'm really failing today. That Leonardo DiCaprio movie, the really hardcore one.
Revenant.
The Revenant style Predator. Yeah, that would be
crazy.
I know stuff.
Yeah,
you earned your keep.
Yeah, also, Matt.
I still have to prove myself.
Mid-Thunder is a badass name.
Yeah,
that's an
right.
Amazing name.
Yeah, and all she's been doing is playing badasses, so that's now she's going to be another badass, you know, warrior, so that'd be pretty cool. All right, we're going to take a break, pay some bills, but when we come back, we are going to talk about this Black Widow lawsuit.
Oh, yeah, we are.
And the drama going on in the Suicide Squad franchise and new comics. So stay tuned for all of it.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back, everyone, Comic Book Nation. We're about to get into this Scarlett Johansson Black Widow lawsuit. So, if you guys have been living under a rock for the last day or so, Scarlett Johansson and her legal team filed a lawsuit against Disney regarding Black Widow's release on Disney Plus Premier Access. Now, at first, this news came out fast and people started reacting and saying things, but there is a bit to it. It seems from what we're kind of been able to unearth since the initial reports is that, you know, there was an opportunity for Disney to kind of renegotiate with Scarlett Johansson when in COVID and this whole kind of interruption to Black Widow's release plans hit. That didn't go through or didn't get done in a way that Scarlett and her legal team feel was satisfactory for when Disney then, you know, begins collecting these massive profits from Disney Plus Premier Access purchases of Black Widow. I have that about right. Janelle, you've been fact checking this real carefully, right?
I mean, kind of. I've been really like, I'm so neutral here. I just literally sent out a tweet. I was like, okay, hey guys, this is what's going on. Help me see her side of the story, because I feel like if you just read ScarJo sues Marvel and Disney or whatever, it's very easy to get triggered and frustrated by that, because you look at a millionaire and you look at someone getting to play a dream role that like we would all just sell our souls to play. Like I would do it for free, and you're like, be grateful. And COVID happened. But I think what's important is to open up a dialogue if it's like bothering you. So that's what was happening with me. I was frustrated by it. I was like, wow, that just seems so ungrateful. She's not taking into account everyone who has lost so much during COVID. That's awfully selfish of her. She still got $20 million in her pocket and she got to be Black Widow. This is her last project on Disney and with Marvel, and the fans love her. And now she's going out on a sour note. And that really sucks for fans of Black Widow and whatever, and her role. But then I started digging, and then people started giving me the information, and it's been quite illuminating when you realize that, yes, like all of these HBO films that were released, you know, against the wishes of the studios and whoever made these HBO films, they were renegotiated prior to release. So the actors were happy, the studio, like everything was properly done so that all parties could be comfortable. And to see like that not happen with Disney is really frustrating, I'm sure. And like, as a woman, she's fought so hard to like get this place in the MCU and, you know, exercise that like, I am important. I'm just as important as Iron Man. I'm just as important as Thor. Like, let me have my moment. And I want to make the same money that they're making and all of that, to kind of deny her that, it sucks. Like, and so I do see both sides, and I'm just curious. I have a whole thread on Twitter and I have an IG story where I just want to hear other people's opinions. And most people are saying I don't care. I love her still. I'm on her side. That's what I'm getting
right.
more of.
Here's the thing. The one thing I do have a problem in all this is the people bringing the COVID of it all into it. Like, I get it, like, but I've had a problem because Disney did this, and I've saw other comments saying like, "Oh, you should be this way because of COVID." Like,
right?
Relax. Everybody needs to kind of relax to that. Like in general, like I don't usually PSA up here, but like you don't know what everybody's been through in the last year.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody dictating how everybody should come out of this and now act and what their worldview should be after COVID. Relax.
Or we should all just be grateful for
you. You have no idea what everybody has been through individually in the last year and what people are still trying to deal with, whether it's loss, interruption of life, just the psychological and mental health effects of what have happened. Yeah, we got to relax on that because Disney put that out in a statement like it's COVID that she can't be more. Yo, that's
it is that weird. Was, like, it's one thing if the fans
really
say it
the wrong way.
Yeah, it's one thing for the fans to say it. It's another for like the like Disney to be like, hey, we're going to like try to make you look bad. And is that borderline like.
No, that rubbed me really the wrong way when they started bringing COVID in. It's like, Disney, you have the money to be donating some. Well,
also, your parks are open.
Exactly.
Right. Well, like, that was a very Activision-esque response, and I would not be surprised if we get an apology in a couple of days after this kind of more stuff develops here, because that was a bad initial statement.
Like, yeah,
it
wasn't a good look.
That was a tone deaf thing.
And I made the right image for that article about that. Statement, which was angry Mickey Mouse just like glaring at. Yeah.
And I will say, like, to Janelle's point, because I think it's important, right? So like me and Anissa were having this conversation, right? And I was like telling her about what would happen. Like her first response, like her first thought was like, I really don't care because it's not like this affects me in any kind of way. We have our very local problems, right? Like I'm not concerned about what ScarJo is making or not making or whatever. We're trying to keep the kid from eating cardboard. Like that's our first thought, right?
I love that. So,
but that's like very true. And then she went, but after like I explained kind of the whatever, she was like, but I also understand that like where she's coming from and she's probably right. And like my thing is, and that was why I tweeted that whole thing about like the key concept here is not take whether or not out of your discussion, because it doesn't matter. This is a contractual business arrangement. OK, there was a contract. And when you alter things, especially when they very specifically in the suit say that like the deal was for theatrical only, that was part of the deal. So when you go to make a change to that, and her team says, anyway, alleges that they reached out multiple times to Disney. Even they reached out when they thought it might happen even before COVID. And then they reached out during, as more and more studios started to do that, especially like Warner Brothers. And they never got a response. And, you know, at that point, it's like, OK, you're either just ignoring them willfully or because you don't want to do anything about it, or you're so backed up and it's just an organizational mess, whichever one of those are, both are bad, but like,
but if it was an organizational mess, they could have said that. They could have been like, we messed up.
But they never responded. Yeah. And so, yeah, you're right. Warner Brothers paid out $200 million plus to adjust contracts, and everybody's not happy. It's just like, hey, what can we, here's what we can do.
Compromise. We're trying to get a solution.
Compromise means you get a little happy, but you're not all the way
right. And Johansson hasn't had as many chances to get like those very lucrative back end deals that Evans, that Downey, that like Hemsworth, they've all had those time and time again, especially Downey, because he's been here the longest, right? So he's making $50 million plus just on the back end of his Avengers movies. And those aren't even his movies, right? So in this case, it's like, look, I'm not going to get in someone's way in getting their money. It's like the same thing for like anybody trying to, like, I'm not going to be the one to like, no, that's enough.
Whether you're a millionaire or you're working at Walmart, like,
I'm not going to get it. And if you had a contract,
payment for what you did. Yeah.
Right. You had a damn contract. And if they didn't even try to do that and like go, hey, we know we're going to do this, it's not about whether or not she should have. It's like, you're damn right. You got to bring that up to somebody. Cause I would, because like, even if it was 10 million out of that 50 million or whatever, at least we came to some kind of deal, and that's what we could get out of it. So, like, you know, so far anyway, if what that team alleges happened, then, like, I'm understand where she's coming from.
Yeah, me and my brothers were talking about this in the thread, and the thing I said is, I think that people are also underestimating, maybe, I think people are thinking, like, ScarJo's greedy and this like that. First of all, that lady's pregnant. She's got another kid on the way, man.
Oh, my God, I forgot about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, you get the bag. that changes things. You get the bag when you...
Well, she also can't work. Yeah. You have to think about that.
Exactly. But I also think that people are underestimating maybe how she's viewing herself and what she represents in this situation. Because, like, it is bold to do this to Disney, like to stand up to Disney and do this. And you got to wonder, like, she may be self-aware enough to know that, like, she's basically like the only actress maybe on the planet right now who has enough clout to do this and, you know, maybe win. And this is a pivotal case, and it's more pivotal than people are really maybe acknowledging at first, because this does affect things, and it may affect you one day if you plan to do anything in entertainment right now. Because at the moment, like, this streaming stuff is the Wild West across the board, not just in movies, but movies, television, music. You want to get into that?
Yeah. Oh, God.
The streaming is the wild freaking West. And it's one where the artists right now are getting jerked, like, pure and simple, like, because it happened so fast and nothing has been adjusted. Business is still structured as usual. And what corporations have tried to do is just keep streaming as, like, oh, this is just not a new thing, so we're not going to pay you for this new thing, or make it so absurd that it's like, I think in music it's something absurd, like 150,000 streams is like $0.03. It's something really insane.
It's really just affecting the songwriters, which is
exactly
sad, because songwriters aren't millionaires.
Exactly. And it's just like, it's affecting everything. So this is a case that this is the next big thing to be settled in entertainment since, like, the big studio systems or conglomerate record companies were broken up and that whole thing was changed.
COVID just shortened the window.
Yeah, exactly.
It was always going to happen with all these streaming services.
Yeah, exactly. And we went through a rapid evolution during COVID, and drastic decisions had to be made, and people were trying to make them and just keep this ball rolling. Like, okay, now let's just get rolling. And I'm sure that's what Disney did. They didn't answer those emails because they were like, if we just don't deal with this and get it done, like, and get to this point, like, you know, ask for forgiveness rather than permission.
Right. And
ScarJo might know that, like, this is the time to, like, you know, symbolically make that stand, not just for herself, but for the industry, and get, like, the industry behind her. Because if she wins, like, other actors now have legal precedent to go in and get a bigger bag out of streaming.
Right. To say, and now, like, that new report says she might not be the only one, right? Because Emma Stone might be considering Cruella. Right.
She's getting a ball rolling. She is the most visible and, like, famous and high paid actress in the world. And if she gets jerked on this, that means everybody else behind her gets jerked on this. And if she doesn't get jerked on this and stands up, and whether it's a settlement or anything, like, she might help redefine how this goes forward for the entire industry. Because, now we may have to have some talks about that streaming and the cuts and what you get from it. You know,
it's just interesting seeing all the responses, like the Disney response. But then, like, you brought this to my attention. I hadn't seen it yet. The Feige, like, what he's saying, it's interesting, because I feel like he has her back a little bit on this.
Yeah, that report of him essentially being quite angry with the sudden switch anyway. And then if those are to be believed, then it was like he wanted them to work with her and they didn't. And
Kevin Feige has smartly and famously been a producer who takes care of his artists and looks out for his people. And people, like, you don't hear people saying anything bad. All you hear bad producer talk all the time, but not about Kevin Feige.
Mm-mm. Right.
Like, people of all kinds across the board say that, like, Kevin Feige takes care of them. They like him, and he is artist friendly. So, I would imagine, like, when this hard kind of executive move is pulled, he's not pretty happy right now. He's probably like, in not just as a person who's a good person, but, like, as a producer who's running a brand that takes care of its artists and is promoting inclusivity and diversity and doing all that stuff right now. And it's like, we're going to screw our one biggest female star out of some money and do all this. like that looks bad, right? Like yeah. that's not good for the brand either. So mm-hmm. yeah, I imagine he's very much unhappy with this. And Jim is in the comments. What up, Jim Viscardi, producer Jim Viscardi. Talk about other good producers. Let's give Jim.
Oh, look at that.
Bravo, Jim.
Yeah. He takes care of his artists too. We're all still here on this podcast.
And he brings up a good point. He says, but it's also going to be cheaper for Disney to settle than to renegotiate her Marvel deal, which I do see that happening. I think we can all agree that they're just going to probably settle.
Oh, yeah. But again, even a settlement opens the door a little bit for people to come in after this and say, No more of this Netflix stuff. You don't just pay me up front and then you keep all the rest of the money. Mm-hmm. We all see how this streaming stuff is going to work now. Like the upfront money is chump change. Like I want part of the longer streams, like the end. Yeah. Because I mean, really the way streaming works and they haven't really added this, and this is just free game I'm going to give away, is people don't account for like the resurgences, right? Mm-hmm. Like we in this, having worked here, we now know there are definite patterns of resurgence in things. Like something new comes out and then something pops on streaming all over. And those streams come back all over again. Movie's 10 years old. You know, the series is 10 years. It doesn't matter. Like because of the circular nature of entertainment and reboots and things, things pop again, become relevant again, come up from Avatar The Last Airbender to The Office to like 30. You know, there's a bunch of them. Mm-hmm. And people are not getting a part of that money.
Nope.
And, oh, my gosh. I didn't even think about that.
And so like, there's... They have not gone back and revised all this for the new reality, but that time is coming and ScarJo might help push that boulder uphill a little bit.
The bottom line is, you know, we're fans and we want the studios to be happy. We want everyone to get along. Like we want Marvel and Disney to be rocking and rolling. And this is like the first, I feel, big hiccup between Marvel and, you know, Disney. And I don't like to see that. Like, I don't want to see...
Mom and Dad don't fight.
I don't want it. Yeah, I want them to be really happy. I mean, they've had so much success with Loki and WandaVision and Falcon Winter Soldier, and it just felt like it was just going so well. Like, but there's trouble in paradise, and you could kind of tell in some of ScarJo's interviews for Black Widow, she just seemed not quite pumped about something. And now when I go back and I watch her interviews, she's just kind of smug, you know, she's kind of like, And it's really enlightening to see, because she probably had that in the back of her mind and it really probably messed up her own excitement about the film and stuff like that.
Yeah. Christopher Martin in the comments. I mean, yeah, Dave Chappelle's another person who really recently took this stand and won. I mean, when they started putting Chappelle's Show on every streaming service everywhere, and he was only getting, you know, so much of that money, he just made the bold move. He went online, just told him, take it down. Like, fine, I don't want the publicity. Just take it down.
Yeah.
And he had him take it down, and then they renegotiated, and now
and
he's getting
addressed
the money.
It in an SNL monologue.
Yeah.
Did it in the most public way possible.
Yeah, then made it part of his act. You know, that's good comedy right there. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. And then we're going to follow and talk about this, because people in the comments, you guys have a lot of good opinions and some smart insights. So thank you for dropping those in. All right. So that's Marvel's drama. Let's go over to DC's drama.
Oh, gosh.
There's a little bit of get bad with DC, as always. There's a little bit of bad and a little bit of good. So the Suicide Squad is now out and it's having a good first initial kind of wave of reviews. Our own Brandon Davis saw it and said, you know, he can read his review on comicbook.com DC. And he really loved it and said it's just, you know, totally a James Gunn kind of vision and a project, and violent and funny and crazy and weird and gross at times, and just a lot of fun, which is the bottom line, a lot of fun. And, you know, people have generally across the board said that it launched with a perfect score on Rotten Tomatoes, and critics of all kinds seem to enjoy it, saying that even the critics who think this kind of comic book movie stuff is dumb and it's kind of juvenile, the kind of movie made, said still fun, still like a fun movie and improvement on the original Suicide Squad. Well, that's where things get to kind of run in a little too far, because people have been, of course, it's inevitable that a movie, and I still think the title of this movie is a slap in the face of the previous one, because it's the Suicide Squad, as if it's official and the other one is not. But, you know, there's been a lot of comparisons inevitably to the 2016 film that was directed by David Ayer, and people have been going in on social media. Well, one person went in on social media And David, I mean, apparently David
Ayer. Was a critic, too, by the way.
Yeah, it was a critic. I wasn't going to mention. I'm not mentioning names. But, so, I mean, they're the only people who have seen the Suicide Squad. So,
yeah.
And so that a critic went in on Twitter and made a comment about it and made a comment about David Ayer should just abandon his director's cut scenes. Yeah. And basically just saying because of James Gunn's movie, we should just stop talking about the old Suicide Squad, essentially. Well, David Ayer felt, I mean, he took it like that Michael Jordan Last Dance meme. You know, he took that personally and he released a whole statement under just a thread that said my turn. And we'll just read the highlight that we put in into our article at comicbook.com. It said, I put my life into the Suicide Squad. I made something amazing. My cut is intricate and emotional journey with some bad people who are sugar, honey, iced tea and disregarded. A theme that resonates in my soul. The studio cut is not my movie. Read that again. And my cut is not the 10-week director's cut. It's a fully mature edit by Lee Smith standing on the incredible work by John Gilroy. It's all Stephen Price's brilliant score with not a single radio song in the whole thing. It has traditional character arcs, amazing performances, a solid third act resolution. A handful of people have seen it. And he goes on. I mean, there's a much bigger statement there.
He's saying, like, if anybody's saying they've seen it, like, they're lying.
Yeah.
You know, and also he went on to say, I mean, this is very emotional for him. You can tell because the first entire, like, page and a half is about how he was brought, like, his upbringing, yeah, his drug use, the death of his father due to suicide. Like, it's very, very close. And I think that's why he takes it so personally, because he feels so aligned with these characters who were kind of rejected by society and people gave up on them. And then they can go and have this like secondary chance to be heroes. And I think that he was really passionate about this project by reading this statement.
He was. I sat down with David Ayer for when he released his movie Fury, which is also an excellent film, which is a World War II tank film with like Shia LaBeouf and Brad Pitt and some other people. And that was 2014. And I interviewed him and it was like days after he got hired for Suicide Squad. Aww. And I was like one of the first people who got to talk to him and ask him like, yo, you know, how do you feel about this property like that? And he told me like straight up how passionate he was. I think he has veterans in his family. He served.
He was in the Navy.
He just had like a lot from, like you said, his personal struggles to his kind of military background to just everything that he was cooking up for this movie and doing all the research and reading all the comics. And like, yeah, he was super passionate and I was super happy when they cast him. And that 2016 Comic-Con trailer is still one of my favorite like comic book movie trailers of all time. If you haven't seen it, go back and watch the original Suicide Squad comic Comic-Con 2016 kind of like preview trailer. It was the first time they showed anything from the film. And it is the only, in my opinion, like visual evidence of what Ayer's cut really was and how it was. Because after that, they started throwing in the Guardians of the Galaxy kind of, you know, trying to throw old rock tracks on it and doing all that stuff. And it was about then you lost it. But that first Comic-Con trailer really shows it. And so, yeah, it's unfortunate. I mean, it's no secret on here that I've been one of the kind of Snyder Cut bros when I pushed really hard for that and really wanted to see that come out. And I jumped on the Ayer Cut bandwagon, too. I've been really about that, mostly because of that Comic-Con trailer and how much I believed in that project and wanted to see it. And it sucks that he has to keep taking the hits now. And even James Gunn has been very diplomatic about, like, you know, showing him respect and all that and saying, like, no, I didn't do this to, like, as a middle finger to David Ayer, like at all. I just got hired.
Yeah, and they supported the statement.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. And like, but people are going to do this and it sucks. Like I really do. I hated it for Snyder and I hate it for Ayer that those, the group of people at Warner Brothers in that 2015, 2016, 2017 era get to have their names kind of more anonymous in all this, while the filmmakers of like Batman v Superman and Suicide Squad have to get dragged like every day on social media for those films that the studio went in and just butchered and did a Frankenstein on and put out in theaters. So I support Ayer in, I mean, it is not a thing. It exists. I don't know what Warner Brothers is ever going to do, but I would just like, again, for the same reasons I wanted the Snyder Cut, just to respect the filmmaker and put out the thing on HBO Max and let fans see it. Like, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. There's nothing I could do to rewrite that history. Here we are, right?
Yeah, I'm just my biggest thing is because I went to the once that statement came out, I went back towards like through the thread that led to that. Where that statement kind of punctuated, and I was like, wow, I don't know, it's something that, look, we're all guilty of it, I know I've done it in the past and stuff, but I try not to, and I try not to applaud something while stepping on something else. So if I like something, I'm not going to find something else to trash as a comparison. For me, that's often lazy, and it's on Twitter and social media a hell of a lot, and I've done it, I know I've done it in the past and stuff, and I try actively not to, but like that kind of stuff, it's like you get punched enough with that stuff, and someone's going to respond, and especially with someone who, you know, put so much of himself into projects like Training Day, like Fury, like those are, Ayer is that kind of director. Like, he puts a lot of himself, a lot of his past, it's very close to him. And I imagine Suicide Squad was the exact same way. So that's unfortunate. And so like, that was what I left more. It's like, God, like it didn't help not reinforce my like loathing of that, you know, that just, there's just a negative, pessimistic, cynical point of view that comes through a lot, especially on Twitter, and especially like, why do you have to punch him to big up James Gunn? Why can't you just say James Gunn's is great? Why do you have to then go and David Ayer is like the most horrid director on the face of the earth? You know what I mean? Like, why do you have to do that to celebrate someone else? It's lazy. So yeah, I was kind of glad it got called out. I'm okay with it.
That's good. I love your pettiness. All right.
So I didn't say I wasn't petty. I just said
to be negative. I fully support your pettiness. I am not mad at your pettiness at all. So it looks like, what is it? Do we have both Free Guy and Suicide Squad next week? Yes, we do.
Oh, ladies my and gentlemen, gosh. Yay.
Next week's show gonna be lit.
We have
movies. So we're gonna talk Free Guy and the Suicide Squad and the original Suicide Squad all next week. So you guys be here for that. Right now, let's talk comics. Matt, take us away.
Yes. Yeah, so let's start with something kind of different. So Marvel is always up for their alternate worlds and realities. And so we have a new one in the form of Amazing Fantasy number one. This has been teased for a while, actually, honestly. Could not remember. I thought this was supposed to come out like months ago. I might have just been off on that. But the first issue gives us Spider-Man. Oh, by the way, spoilers incoming for these comics before I dive into this stuff. So this one gives us Spider-Man, Captain America, and Black Widow. I do believe there are going to be other heroes involved, but like these are the three main people. And, you know, it's just kind of it really does live up to its name. It really just kind of takes these characters that we know and love and sticks them in this surreal fantasy world full of dinosaurs and other creatures and castles. And it's very much like, I mean, look, we talked about Masters of the Universe recently. If you're that kind of fan and you also happen to like Marvel, this is probably a perfect combining of the two for you. And I mean, I thought the artwork was gorgeous. And it's a limited series, so you don't have to get crazy invested. I think for me, the Black Widow sections of this stuck out the most. I thought that was just like the most effective. And I thought it was just a really cool spin on this character. I really enjoyed it. Not really what I was like, I didn't really know what to expect when kind of going into this. So, I mean, I can't say it wasn't what I expected when you don't expect anything, but I dug it. I ended up really liking it. What'd you guys think?
I still don't know what's going on. I'm kind of waiting to get more information because I enjoy every storyline. I obviously know these heroes and I'm excited to see them in a different way, but I don't know, did they go through a black hole? Like, was there a like Doctor Who come in, throw them in the TARDIS and dump them somewhere else? Like, I really don't know what's going on. So I'm intrigued enough to keep reading and try to figure out, like, unless I missed something. Did I miss something?
No. They did okay. Not explain it yet.
So okay, good to know. And if that's intentional, then I'm digging it. And I'm ready to kind of move forward and see where else it's going to go. Do you think it's just going to be with these heroes, or you think they're going to have more in there too?
I expect, I swore I read somewhere that it was during pre-interviews and stuff that there was going to be other heroes in the mix.
So there's a chance of Strange.
But like the second issue description also says, like, make sure to spotlight that it's these three heroes. Okay. So if they do pop in, it probably won't be till later or in a cameo style. It seems Got like it. These three are the ones that we're following.
The core. Cool. I mean, you're right about the Black Widow as well, though. That is definitely the coolest storyline. Yeah.
I thought it was awesome. Kofi, what do you think?
I didn't actually not get to read this one and did not get to this one this week. Don't ask me why, but like in my head, I made up what you said we were going to read. And so I like read a bunch of stuff. I read a lot of comics this week. And then I got to here today and I was just like, I saw the list and I was like, what the hell is he talking? I was like, oh no, I'm.
Oh my God. Wrong. Okay. So wait. So just to clarify, did you read
Icon? Yes.
Okay, so let's move to that one because I know you read that one.
Yeah.
And then did you read the third one or not?
I can't Black remember. Cat? No, yeah. I wasn't gonna, okay, but I wasn't cool. gonna read that.
No. Oh, okay, that's fair. So Icon, it was optional reading. Yeah. Icon and Rocket season one. This is now the third, I believe, or it might be the second, but with a third quickly approaching of the Milestone kind of
reboot Static
universe. This Icon. Is following the same season one template as Static. From what I remember, we all really liked Static, which also had a superb second issue as well, if you're not reading that.
I loved Static.
It was so good. So that one's still going, and this one kind of launches these characters. I will say not as well known as Static Shock, but like Static Shock is by far, to me anyway, the most popular character in Milestone. So I feel like these guys are well known, though, and pretty much tells a really interesting origin story. I'm curious. I know Kofi, I can't remember if you had a love of Milestone from before.
Or I did. Not.
Okay.
Yes. Oh yeah, I grew up.
So you're probably you're a bigger Milestone probably aficionado than me. So I'm more curious as to like what you thought.
Like Static, I think it takes me, I was so kind of brought into alternative comics through Milestone and, especially as like a young black kid growing up in the 90s and not having that many comics that appealed directly to me and having this collection of really talented people from Dwayne McDuffie to everybody else kind of make these comics. It really was impactful for me. And I love the kind of gritty, there was something very much that spoke to me to the kind of urban gritty vibe of the brand that they did. And so it's always a little bit, it throws me a little bit to see these very polished kind of mainstream comic remakes of that stuff. But it doesn't mean I dislike it at all. I'm enjoying the kind of new stories that they're telling. And I think the storytelling is very interesting in both Static and in this issue. And I kind of really dug it. I dig the way they're kind of approaching Icon and the alienness of it all in the way you get into it from this kind of what's that movie? Don't Breathe style kind of entry thing of the home break in to just this, developing Rocket and as a more kind of developed and interesting character. So I kind of really dug it. I'm not mad at this at all.
Nice. Janelle, what'd you think?
I feel like Static is a little bit more relatable for me as a reader, just from my background. I kind of, because it's set in like the school and, I like Static a little bit more, but what really I wish and I want more of is the beginnings of Icon, like those first few pages on the plantation with the adoptive parents, like that gave me goosebumps. First time I've ever seen anything like that in a comic book, like any acknowledgement of slavery. And it was just, that was awesome. Like, I'm like, can I have more of that backstory? Because that's so cool. When it comes into
the acknowledgement, not slavery.
What?
I said the acknowledgement.
No, I don't want more. So, oh my God, no. But I would like, I would like a focus on that because
she's such a troll, Kofi.
Yes,
I'm sorry. Janelle Wheeler, we love you. I'm just messing with you.
I don't even know I'm saying it half the time. Oh, so I'm like, but anyways, I would love more of the backstory because I don't know Icon, anything about Icon, and the break-in and the burglary and the theft and all. I don't really. Like that was kind of, it got kind of like long for me. I'm like, okay, I get it. They're breaking in. Like, I get it. Right. Like it just seemed like it was dragging along. But that first part of that book was awesome. I loved it.
See, I'm there with you on the fact that, like, because there's also another quick flashback to, like, in Paris. And I forget exactly when it takes place.
Yes,
but it takes place
awesome
further
too.
Back. And
yes.
So I agree. I think those are actually, like, that seeing his history is the one of the best parts of the issue. So I do hope in future issues we kind of get more of that context. And then I also just really loved Rocket's whole ending part. So, like, the beginning was really compelling and really interesting and hooked me, and then the end. Towards the end of the book was like, it grabbed me again and I was like all in. And but it was, yeah, it kind of dragged in the middle a little bit. And not for any real reason other than just being like a little bit decompressed. It probably could have been trimmed a little bit. But the end, once we get Rocket and Icon interacting on a personal level and like that whole back and forth, I thought was Reginald Hudlin wrote this. And I thought it was really interesting that, like, I love the rabbit 8 mile of it all, of presenting all the arguments ahead of time of, like, well, and it's presenting it to the reader, right? So, well, okay, if I go out there and I'm a superhero, they're just going to say this. And it's her bouncing back and, like, reacting with this kind of youthful energy that he is clearly, you know, hasn't had a long time. So I dug that and I liked the banter. And so that is promising to me for future issues because, of course, we're going to get them kind of as full superheroes later on. So, I came away really digging this. I will say, I think Danny the Pug pointed it out that, let me see, where was it? Yes, Hardware should have been the most popular Milestone character. The awesome part is, and I think that was the book I was conflating. So Hardware actually comes out, I think, next week or the week after. And Brandon Thomas is writing that one from what I remember. So that should actually, that is promising. So far, I think they've really done a good job on these creative teams for Milestone. So the last book we will get into, I know it was a book me and Janelle really like. I know we didn't read it. So it's perfect. And also I saw in here a comment of, like, that it can be overwhelming to jump in. It was Crow, I believe. Who kind of said, like, it's a little overwhelming. There's a lot on the racks. Trust me. I understand. I read a lot of comics every week and it's daunting, and that's not all of the books that come out. So, like, I get it. I think actually, like, Black Hat is one of the very easily recommendable series, even if you wanted to go back to the beginning of her previous run and jump in, because of the way it interacts with the Marvel Universe. Whether even if you like Black Hat or not, one, I think Jed MacKay writes Black Hat really well, but two, it interacts with the universe a lot, but it doesn't get derailed a lot of times by whatever is happening. It's still telling a very Black Cat and the immediate group story within those. Even the King of Black stuff still told a Black Cat Doctor Strange story, as opposed to getting derailed by all the events. And here we have a start. This is actually a perfect jumping on point. If you wanted to jump on Black Cat number 8, we get the first part of this kind of next caper. I think McKay just does this heist stuff so well, and you know, seeing the back and forth with Nick Fury, I really dug this issue. I feel like some people probably will come away with, like, well, who's that character at the end? If you haven't been reading some of the other Marvel books over the last, like, 2 years, because that's a relatively recent character. You know, Janelle, what do you think of this issue overall?
It's just an easy read, enjoyable. Like, it's not, I don't think it's, like, super memorable, but it, right. I liked it a lot. Like, I thought it was, I enjoyed reading it. I sat down, I was like, oh, this is, oh, it's my girl. It's Black Cat. I love her. And I just, I like seeing her and getting to know her a little bit better. And I'll keep reading this one for sure.
Agreed. Yeah. It wasn't, it's not like the issue that'll set the world on fire.
Right.
Absolutely not. But it's very much like setting up a thing. Also,
it's still enjoyable.
That character at the end. Did you know who that is?
By no.
Okay. Uh-uh. So that's Star. Spoiler.
Okay.
We already said spoiler, so I'm fine. That Star, who kind of came up in a Captain Marvel run. That's where she kind of was created, in a Captain Marvel run. I have no idea how she got in a freezer blocker thing. I have no idea. They haven't actually explained that, because the last time we saw her, she had the Reality Stone in her chest, and she's essentially like a, if you kind of think, honestly, if you think Wanda from WandaVision style of like, I can create and mess with reality and maybe I don't always have control of that, that is what Star.
Ooh, intriguing.
So the fact that she's stealing a person, and this person is very powerful, and why is she like locked in this freezer thing? Because the last time we saw her was a short story in Spider-Man, but also like Thunderbolts was the last time we saw her as part of a team. So there's a lot of mystery in between there. But yeah, a lot of good stuff this week, though, just outside of that. And a lot of books that you can kind of jump into as a new reader. So I need to put together a list for that. But that's comics this week. Oh, he's talking and we can't hear.
Muted. I thought I hit the mute button. I missed
you
it.
You didn't.
I didn't. I missed it. Thank you, Matt, for running things with my quick cat nap. I'm just joking for people in the comments.
That's hurtful.
Yeah.
Yes, that was an 8 Mile reference.
Yes, and we're going to get out. Before we get out of here, I had some quick mentions. I've been watching this American Horror Stories on FX Hulu, and I'm liking it. I actually like American Horror Story when you don't have the pressure of an entire season under a single theme. It's a lot easier to avoid kind of filler and all that crap. And just doing these as weekly, like anthologies or 1 and 2 episode anthologies, is really good. They did a Murder House one first, and they did one about a drive-in movie theater with my boy from Runaways. And then this week they did one about Bro House, which is kind of one of those Logan Paul style kind of prank team people where something goes wrong in their house. And it was kind of a Christmas theme one. And it's fun. It's a lot of fun to get like a new American Horror Story every week in a different cast and a different setup. And it's kind of like getting Tales from the Crypt and stuff like that under Ryan Murphy's banner. And so check that out. Also, I just wanted to speak and just throw my 2 cents in and speak on this whole thing with Masters of the Universe Revelation. We had Evan Valentine come on last week and do a review of it. I've seen it since. I know Matt and Janelle were kind of into it last week. And you know what? I'm not with the haters on this one. Like, I actually dug this. I'm not mad at Teela getting her own focus in a thing. They didn't call it He-Man for a reason. They called it Masters of the Universe for a reason, because the franchise was about more than just He-Man. Mm-hmm. He was the centerpiece, but it is called Masters of the Universe, plural. And there's more of them. So Teela getting the focus and her relationship with like Man in Arms and Orko's whole thing, like all of that, I'm not mad at that at all. Like, that was a new kind of take on the franchise that I'm not mad. And it was done by somebody who obviously had reverence for the 80s series and things like that. So, yeah, I'm not mad about that.
I totally brought this up last night. I totally forgot to throw it on our show notes. But Freaky, the movie Freaky on HBO, it's gory and good. I like it.
I'm a little bit into it too.
It's yeah, not Vince bad. Vaughn is great in the dual roles. Like, you know, it's so weird to see him like not making sarcastic remarks at a wedding, you know, crasher movie. It was cool to see him in that role. And it actually has, 84% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is really surprising.
Favorite recent horror movies. Like, nice. That was so fun. It was ridiculous fun.
Yeah, no, Freaky was a successful one. That's another Blumhouse. Blumhouse walked away with a bag on that one, because that thing cost like nothing to make, and they made a bunch of movies or a bunch of money on it. So that was Christopher Landon, who was done Paranormal. He's worked on a bunch of stuff. Happy Death Day, too, and stuff like that. So, yeah, he did. Is Christopher Landon the Happy Death Day guy? Yeah, so he did Freaky, and yeah, so he's just kind of killing it himself. And I still want that Happy Death Day 3, so let's make that happen, because that series went crazy.
Hey, I'm curious, by the way, what is the date on next Friday? Do we know that?
The 6th, August 6th.
So all I will leave with is a tease that we will have some Titan stuff to talk about.
Oh God, we have so much next show. Yeah, gonna be good. I'm sorry if this show was crap. We are going to have an awesome show next week where we talk about DC's Titan finally on HBO Max.
And I see
Suicide
the week after
Squad
that,
on HBO Max.
We might have Witcher Nightmare of the Wolf.
Oh man.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
Yo, entertainment's coming back. I'm so happy. This show is going to be lit. Tune in. If you're just getting into it now, we are Comic Book Nation, official podcast of comicbook.com. We're live every Friday at noon. Live on Twitch, live on YouTube, live on Facebook. If you missed the show, you can rewatch there or download the audio on your podcast platforms, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, which I did some research. We're going to still stump for Stitcher. Stitcher and Google Podcasts and all that stuff. You can tell any smart home device, download play Comic Book Nation Podcast, and it'll fire it up for you. If you like the show, leave us that 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. We want to thank you guys. If you want to get into the show and follow us, we've been dropping fun updates and getting a lot more involved over on our Twitter handle at Comic Book Nation. So follow us there. You can follow me at Kofi Outlaw.
You can follow me at Matt Aguilar CB.
You can follow me at Janelle Wheeler.
And that'll do it for this episode. We want you guys to have a good week. Hope you find some good content to watch and be sure to be with us next week, because I'm not kidding. Like, next week's show is actually going to be lit. We have a bunch of fun stuff to talk about, and I'm so excited even now. See you guys then. Peace.
Bye, guys.